All women deserve to have a pleasurable birth experience. All women deserve to feel safe, to feel powerful, and absolutely enjoy it. Like, why wouldn't you want to enjoy birth? Why wouldn't you?
If anyone out there listening has ever listened, not watched, but listened just to the sound of a woman about to give birth, if you close your eyes and you listen and not seeing anything, you would, honest to God, have no idea if she's about to have the best orgasm of her life or push her baby out. It is literally the exact same sound.
Because they're the same hormones we experience in sex. But I think women should understand the goal isn't orgasm. It's like that may or may not happen and no one really is interested in whether it does, but we want you to be on that pleasure track. I'm Cynthia Overgaard, owner of Hypnobirthing of Connecticut, childbirth advocate, and postpartum support specialist.
And I'm Tricia Ludwig, certified nurse midwife and international board certified lactation consultant.
And this is the Down to Birth podcast.
Childbirth is something we're made to do, but how do we have our safest and most satisfying experience in today's medical culture?
Let's dispel the myths and get down to birth.
Hi, I'm Emma. I'm also known as the Naked Doula, and I am now a very proud author and actually an accidental illustrator of the Fearless Birth book. So my book that's coming out on the 2nd of May or the 29th of May in America. And just so stoked to be here and having this chat with you ladies again. And I'm so excited for this episode.
Well, we lucky ladies got a little sneak peek at your book this week, and it is going to be fabulous. It's so much fun to read through. It's almost like a children's book, but for adults.
Right.
And in no other way is like a children's book.
In no other way is like a children's book. Like, exactly. It is like the most children's book, not children's book. So fun. But one of the things that you talk about in the book that we are very excited to dive into is pleasurable, orgasmic, ecstatic birth. I mean, what even is that? Everybody would like to have that. And most of us don't know how to achieve that. And some of us think that means that we have to have a birthgasm or orgasm in birth. And that's not really it. So what is it?
Oh, so literally, let's break it down and think about this in like two different sections. So as you said, yes, you can sort of think of it, and you can, of course, you know, bring orgasm into the birth room. So when we're talking about pleasurable birth in the birth room, which doesn't have to include orgasm or, you know, bringing any of that sort of, you know, or toys or things that people talk about, or that connection with your partner touching each other, that doesn't necessarily have to be the case, because you can have a pleasurable birth just through leaning in, surrendering, and actually creating a mindset where you're so connected with pain in the most, I know it sounds crazy, but in the most, you know, sort of interwoven way, because you understand exactly what that means. And you know that it's not an inherently dangerous pain in labor, but actually this beautiful signaling and this beautiful signaling that's going on between the brain, the uterus, and the baby. And when we can really lean into that, I really do believe, and I've seen it happen, and I hear the stories, and it's just so wonderful. You can really create a really beautiful, euphoric, orgasmic experience just getting literally high off the feeling of it all.
If anyone out there listening has ever listened, not watched, but listened just to the sound of a woman about to give birth, you would, if you close your eyes and you listen and not seeing anything, you would, honest to God, have no idea if she's about to have the best orgasm of her life or push her baby out. It is literally the exact same sound. That is the fine line between pain and pleasure, right?
Right. And I mean, it just says it for itself, because birth is driven by the same hormone as the intimacy that we're having in the sex and the, you know, those connections and orgasms. So oxytocin, for those who don't know, is that hormone. It's exactly the same. And it's that goes for that saying, what gets baby in gets baby out, you know. And when you understand the connections between oxytocin, you start to go, oh my God, this makes so much sense. How can I really ramp up my oxytocin? Because that's going to make you start flying high, you know, and start really enjoying the experience.
Why are women a little uncomfortable? Not everyone wants an orgasmic birth. There is a little resistance. And I would love to talk about that resistance. And when you started using the word pain, I thought, oh, right. Most women think of birth in terms of pain. And do you think it's that it's under the context of pain that they can't understand it? Or is it because there's a baby involved and it's too sexual for them to imagine involving their baby? What do you think is the resistance to orgasmic birth psychologically for women? Not everyone hearing this is going to be like, sign me up. There are those women, but there are many who just tighten a little bit and cringe a little bit at it. Do you know? Can you figure out why?
But don't you think also that this happens in sex? We also have.
Yes. Wait a minute. What do you mean? What do you mean?
I mean, like, depending on how we're feeling is how our body's reacting. So how are we going to feel when we're having that sexual intimacy with someone? It might be a really fucking amazing experience, or it might be a really terrible experience. It could be painful. It could be horrible. We could not enjoy it at all. And it's exactly the same thing. So
the same resistance.
Well, yeah, because if you're, let's say, for example, someone thinks about sex and they may have always, you know, if they're not comfortable, if they're not quite happy, their body's going to react like that. And then they're going to be thinking, oh, this is going to hurt. It's going to hurt. You know, it's the same kind of thought process. It's just two different things and people aren't finding the connection.
Yeah.
Most importantly, if people aren't feeling safe in the moment.
Exactly.
They're not going to reach that orgasm, and they can be excited. They can be into it. They can have all the desire around it. But when that fear impedes the cycle, right, or the sense of pain or discomfort or fear or distraction even.
But I think I was saying something a little different, and I am legitimately curious to get your take on it. Why is it that some women don't want an orgasmic birth? I mean, who doesn't? The word orgasm is positive. Even if sex can conjure up all sorts of different emotions for women who aren't necessarily satisfied, orgasm is by virtue of what it is, it's a pleasurable concept. Why do you think I've never really given this thought, and I want your take. Why do some women have an opposition to an orgasmic birth when some women raise their hand and say, sign me up? Why doesn't everyone say that? What's your
opinion?
Because
we feel shame. Women feel shame around their bodies. They feel shame around orgasms because it's shown as something dirty. Like if you think back to when we are, you know, in our teens or, you know, as children, you know, we've got these like men and it's very like, yes, we can do this and we can have sex with everyone. We can be sexual men, you know, we can be this masculine energy. But then you've got the feminine, and as women who actually, you know, if someone had heard or someone, you know, you had that conversation, that's embarrassing. Like, you don't touch yourself. Like, I know plenty of women that have never touched themselves, and it is absolutely bizarre to me. But this is actually the case because they feel so much guilt around that. And it comes from programming. It's the same situation as birth, isn't it? Except it's actually deep rooted as females, as women. It's deep rooted because as we are moving through our childhood, our adolescence, you know, what we're hearing from our parents, what's being passed down through the generations, and then what conversations we're having with other people within our circle, within our energy, is literally what's being programmed into our mind all the way through. So if you've grown up, especially in that instance where, you know, you don't do that, like it's dirty, like sex is dirty, like touching yourself is dirty, like vaginas are dirty, which is a narrative for a lot of women, believe it or not, then that's why they're going to be looking at this and thinking or hearing this and going, that is the worst nightmare. Like, I've had people comment when I've spoken about it before, like, that is disgusting. Like, literally calling me all kinds of disgusting names because they can't fathom it. They cannot fathom it at all.
Not to mention that we're asking them to go into that place within themselves in front of a man in a white coat. I mean, that's a really hard place to go, that I'm going to let myself be that free and, you know, lose all my inhibitions in front of strangers and in front of a medical provider.
Have you witnessed that, either of you, a woman having an orgasm during birth?
So I have at a home birth, not in a hospital environment. The only time that I have had from a hospital environment, I haven't actually witnessed it myself. It's just stories that have come through Instagram from my work.
Hey there, all you amazing, strong, and beautiful women, especially you new moms and moms-to-be. I'm Taylor, co-founder and CEO of Vitality.
And I'm Taylor's sister, Chloe, co-founder and chief design officer. We started Vitality to encourage and empower everyone to live a vibrant life. We're all about supporting women, especially on the journey to motherhood.
When I was pregnant, I really struggled to find comfy leggings that I could wear all day, every day. So we set out to make the best maternity pants out there. We took those pain points and designed pieces that were supportive and comfortable, including details like a high-rise fit, underbelly seam, raw-cut hems, and to top it off, we have an embedded silicone panel that acts like a built-in suspension system for your low back, which is the first of its kind.
So we designed this line in our Marshmallow Soft Cloud 2 fabric in not only a maternity pant, but a volley and biker short as well.
Let me tell you, all of these pieces are a game changer.
Just go to shopvitality.com.
And cherry on top, you guys can use code DOWNTOBIRTH at checkout to get 10% off your order.
10% off athleisure, designed for pregnancy, during pregnancy.
Down to Birth is sponsored by Postpartum Soothe. Recovering from a vaginal birth takes many women by surprise. Everyday activities like sitting, walking, and going to the bathroom can be uncomfortable. And Postpartum Soothe is just the remedy to support your healing and relieve discomfort. Postpartum Soothe is a 100% organic herbal blend that's applied to maternity pads in the days immediately following your birth, giving you all the benefits of a sitz bath 24/7. That's because herbs like comfrey leaf, uva ursi, and witch hazel are known for their antimicrobial and anti-inflammatory properties. Postpartum Soothe can be prepared anytime during the third trimester, and it makes a beautiful baby gift. It's a must for any woman seeking a faster, easier recovery from a vaginal birth. Visit postpartumsoothe.com. That's postpartumsoothe, SOOTHE.com, and use promo code DOWNTOBIRTH. Did you know that 97% of women take a prenatal vitamin, yet 95% of us are still deficient in key nutrients for pregnancy and postpartum? After a long time searching for the optimal prenatal nutrition product, we bring you Needed, a radically better prenatal vitamin. Needed's nutritional products offer nutrients that your body can utilize with doses at optimal versus bare minimum levels and are available in capsules and an easy-to-take vanilla powder, perfect for those moms with pill fatigue or nausea. Needed is a woman-founded company offering a superior nutritional product lineup backed by research, data, and insights from nearly 4,000 women's health experts. Needed offers premium supplements for every stage, from egg quality support for women trying to conceive to lactation support for breastfeeding. And you know, Cynthia and I, we love their botanical sleep and relaxation support packets before bedtime. So if you are looking for a radically different prenatal, head on over to thisisneeded.com and enter Down to Birth for 20% off your first order.
Trisha, you have?
I feel like I don't think that the woman has actually come out and said, oh my God, I just had an orgasm in my birth. But in watching her, I would consider it an orgasmic high.
Yeah.
The way that the body, the peak, the pinnacle moment, the ecstatic. It's, for me, it's more like ecstatic. I mean, I don't think I've actually witnessed like what I would picture a sexual orgasm look like in birth, but they absolutely reach that ecstatic high and then have that, the release on the other side, like that relief of tension.
Yeah.
That satisfaction.
100%. And you know, I was just, you literally just take me back to my labor with George. And when I was feeling the contractions at the strongest time, they were so strong and the pressure was so intense, but I was literally so like, oh my God, like it just makes me go all funny now because I was just like, yes, yes. You know, I was literally like, yes. And I think this is it. I think that when you are so like, whoa, like this is incredible, and you're feeling this and you know exactly what's going on, you can tap into it. And literally alchemize it there and then into something that's so, oh, and it just, it's making me goosebumps because it's just the best feeling in the world. Like I would love to experience contractions and labor. Like I would love to do that again and again, because that is just something so incredibly powerful. And I think this is, you know, what we're talking about when we're talking about that euphoric experience, you know, just love it.
And we know from the work of Sarah Buckley, who's written an incredible book about birth, and she's done a lot of work on the cascade of hormones that happen in the brain that actually get us to this ecstatic birth place. And we know that birth needs to be basically undisturbed, left sort of untouched. A woman needs to feel very safe, very private, to allow this whole cascade of hormones to take place. And then she can achieve that level of ecstasy in birth. And I think that's the main thing that we're talking about when we're talking about pleasurable birth. But there's this whole other category of you know, women actually using touch to stimulate orgasm in birth, to elicit that using their partners, using toys, using whatever to help move labor along.
Yeah. I wish, there's one thing I want women to know when they're listening to this conversation. The goal isn't the orgasm.
Right.
The orgasm is the byproduct of complete surrender, trust, and relaxation. And as Emma was saying earlier, you were saying, Emma, the hormones have no choice but to move you toward pleasure. Right. Because they're the same hormones we experience in sex. But I think women should understand the goal isn't orgasm. It's like that may or may not happen, and no one really is interested in whether it does, but we want you to be on that pleasure track.
Right.
Which makes your birth easier.
And but, that and also that the actual orgasm, should you choose to want to do that, can be a tool to help accelerate your labor.
Yeah, exactly. It's so adaptable. If you was to purely just look at oxytocin, this is why I say literally, for those who, you know, haven't done all the work and haven't done all, or they're literally just about to go into labor and they're like, shit, like, you know, what do I need to do? All you need to be thinking about is oxytocin, because you can influence it in so many different ways. And like you say, this is all leading to this pleasurable experience. And I actually also think that this whole, you know, we have these stories, don't we, from, you know, the Bible and like other places, and, you know, how birth happens, and it's, you know, this experience, and it's traumatic, and, you know, you're meant to feel this, it's meant to be hard, you know, this labor is meant to be hard, and it's meant to be painful, you know, it's meant to be like traumatic. And, you know, obviously now we see this everywhere, don't we? The narrative around birth is just crazy. But I don't believe that this is the case. I think this story and this narrative, like we've been told, like all through history, is to dampen women down. I think it's to dampen our power and for us to not understand or realize how incredible our bodies are and how actually pleasurable birth can be. I do believe that birth, we was made to have pleasurable experiences through birth, because it literally makes perfect sense. It's all interconnected. It's all the same. And yeah, I just think that we've been lied to.
What another way for the male species to dominate women, right? If they can dominate them in sex, then they can dominate them in birth and take that power away from them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because 100%. Prior to some king in the 1700s deciding that he was going to step in and take charge of a woman's body in birth, birth was always with women, for women, amongst women.
Right. And if you was to go and look at, like, you know, like the indigenous people and tribes, and just like the way that, you know, they look at birth, and the whole picture is just like, we need to be going back in time. We need to be going like way back in time and rewriting the narrative. And that's why women who are really in tune with their bodies, and they have this self-trust, and they have this, you know, real connection with themselves and their body and their sexuality, and they're not afraid to, you know, express that within themselves, these are the women that are having these experiences because they feel true safety and true trust in their, in themselves, in their body. And literally that is the key. It's all ourselves. It's all what's inside of us, you know, that comes out basically.
And oh, I agree. I've always said the same thing. It's almost like if someone drinks too much, we all bring a piece of ourselves to our birth. And when it just takes every boundary down, we see that piece of ourselves. And I couldn't agree more. So these movies of women hating their husbands and swearing, and it's like a lot of women don't have that in them. So there's no way birth is going to bring that out of them. But we're conditioned to think that.
I was just thinking back to the comment you made earlier about shame, and really the key to pleasurable birth is in learning to release that shame within yourself prior to giving birth, learning to release all of whatever it is that you're carrying from childhood, teenagehood, young adulthood, wherever it is in your life that you have held on to shame around your sexuality, around your body, around trust in your body, around pleasure.
Yeah.
Working on that. And then that is your key.
100%. And this is, and I know, you know, you mentioned about the book, Tricia, and, you know, it is fun and it is, you know, illustrative and it is, you know, very, very easy to digest, but there is a real story and a real journey throughout the book. And I really dive into that because I really, really do believe that exactly what you said is the absolute truth. And I know that from experience, and, you know, I'm sure you guys have, and like other women will understand, but when we are, you know, feeling that way, when we do have guilt, I mean, I had a lot of that when I was younger. I had so much anxiety and depression, and I just wanted alcohol and, you know, medication, like to just make me feel better, because we're always seem to be looking outwards, and we've been told that we need to look outwards all the time for things. And it's literally like the it's almost like a secret. Like the secret for women, all that we need to do is just look inward. And it is literally that simple.
And isn't it interesting too that a lot of women who haven't done that work prior to having birth may experience a traumatic birth, and then that is the impetus to work on it. Like that is the trigger that sets them free.
Right.
Because they've realized now, oh, this is what happens if I don't find that within myself. This is what happens if I don't honor myself. This is what happens if I don't speak up. And now I'm mad.
Yeah. I've even had some people that said, you know, I looked at your stuff and I didn't actually do the work, you know, and I went in and I actually, you know, it was fine, but I didn't really advocate for myself as well as I wanted to. So, you know, I'm doing things differently this time, but it's hard because we shouldn't have to go through, you know, this experience of, you know, losing autonomy over ourselves to get to that point. But sadly, and I was actually talking about this the other day, sadly, we do have to look out for red flags, and we are in situations where we do have to really advocate for ourselves and really push for ourselves. Otherwise, we wouldn't need to be having these conversations. I wouldn't need to be, you know, there wouldn't be a book and we wouldn't all be sharing things about birth all the time because, you know.
The other thing is the tendency to intellectualize our experience in preparation. So it's more comfortable for, you know, we tend to attract an intelligent population, and that intelligent mind is where they're really comfortable. They want to sit and like read. It's the couple who wants to sit through my class taking notes. I took notes, by the way, all through my hypnobirthing class. Most people don't. But it's the tendency to want to take notes rather than put the pen down, close your eyes when we do these. Of course, people all practice that part in the class, but like you have to let go and prepare in your body because it's so comfortable to sit back and be entertained by your book and intellectually stimulated by the education. But are you really ready to now close it and practice getting inside your body? And that's where it's really uncomfortable because we get restless, we get bored, the doubts rise up. So we have to hear the noise in the head, but that's where the magic happens.
Yeah. Like it's that consistency, isn't it? Because it's so hard. Like even for me, like, you know, even for everyone in day-to-day life, when we think, right, I'm going to do that, you know, and I'm going to do it every day, just that one thing, I'm going to do it every day. And then, you know, you lose track and then you don't end up doing it. And actually, that is not honoring yourself. That is not honoring yourself. Like, you know, if I'm making a promise to myself and then I'm breaking the promise to myself, like, that is not honoring me.
Not only is it not honoring you, but it's breaking down your trust within yourself. I mean, how can we build trust in ourselves if we tell ourselves we're going to do something and then we degrade it in little ways? And the way that trust is built and the way that trust erodes is generally not in one massive fell swoop of something, right? It's little things daily over time, 10 times a day, 20 times a day, week after week, month after month. And that's how we build trust. And that's also how trust is degraded over time.
Such a good point.
So I sort of imagined today that we were going to talk about like, oh, give me like 5 tips on how you can have like a pleasurable birth, like dim the lights, you know, get the right people in your space, have informed consent, blah, 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 all that stuff that we kind of talk about. But we just tapped into the key ingredient, which is working on our internal shame. Can you give us some specific things that women can do in pregnancy to start to bring that up, recognize it, heal it?
So first of all, like, there is no better time than during pregnancy to be doing this work, because we are so much more susceptible and we are tapping into, you know, that really intuitive brain. So actually, when we are during our pregnancy, during this experience, we are really able to rewire a lot easier than we would be if we wasn't pregnant. So first of all, and this is really, really uncomfortable, is you really just need to sit and just be with yourself quietly, not with anyone around, not with noise, not with music, not with anything, just absolute silence. And it's really, actually, really uncomfortable for a lot of people to do that. Strangely, I'm okay with silence, but some people really struggle to sit in silence. But it's sitting with yourself, taking some deep breaths, and just writing some things down, like, what is coming up for you? You know, what is coming up for you in the first instance? The next thing would be to actually take this sort of practice into your just day to day, is becoming aware, using your awareness. How are you feeling in those moments? Doing that like shadow work, I find that really is helpful for me to understand what's coming up and what's going on for me. For example, I'm not going to give an example of the pregnancy, but I'm going to give an example of like last week. So I'm there, I'm with my kids, and I'm getting so triggered and so angry. I can feel it just bubbling up, and I literally just lose it. And in that moment, I've become so good at being aware that I'm aware through the process, and I'm trying to, you know, sort of mitigate. And then it happens, and I'm like, okay, what's going on? How can I come back from this? How can I repair this situation? Why am I feeling angry? And in these moments, I'm having an internal conversation with myself. So I really feel, I know it sounds quite hard, but actually, when you start to practice just becoming aware and in the present moment of how you're feeling and your emotions, I really think it's then easier to just start to understand a bit more about, okay, why is this coming up for me? And why is this making me feel this way? Or even maybe coming onto Instagram, you know, looking at a post and thinking, oh, you know, it's triggering. It's something's triggered you. Why has it triggered you? Like, look at yourself, try and understand, like, what is it in that moment that's triggered you? Is it jealousy? Is it shame? Is it worry? Is it fear? Is it, you know, what is coming up for you?
Well, there are anything that triggers us is a sign of where we're unhealed, right? Anything that triggers us is a sign of where we actually have work to do. If we are reacting, it means that we're not at peace with some part of us that has been stimulated by that event or that feeling or that sight or that emotion.
Right. Exactly. In fact, when I had George, I was 100% about to just throw the towel in completely, because I literally was so triggered by vaginal birth. I was literally like, I cannot watch vaginal birth. I cannot hear anyone talk about it. And everyone's sending me stories. I've literally just had George and I've got all these stories and videos and pictures. And I'm just like, I can't see it. I can't see it at all. And that is a perfect example of when we are triggered by something, we literally just want to hide away from it. We don't even want to face it. You know, that means we've got some work to do on that, and it takes time. I had incredible labor. It was really a euphoric experience. Absolutely loved my contractions. But it ended up being a situation where just nothing was happening. And intuitively, and I'm so glad I did the work and I was prepared and I was tapped into my intuition, because if I'd have carried on, I literally would have ruptured. But I knew at that moment I had to go in for a C-section, and I made the decision. I had the conversations and I pulled him out of my belly. It was amazing. It was great. All that. I had some crazy like flashbacks with my mom, and it was amazing. But at the same time, and this is important, because you can have, you know, you can have complete autonomy and complete like control over everything that's going on, but you can still feel traumatized in some ways from it. So I ended up having the C-section, and I was desperate, absolutely desperate, to birth this baby out of my vagina. You know, like, I just wanted this vagina birth, because how is it that I'm here in this space helping thousands and thousands and thousands of women all over the world have incredible vaginal births, and I can't have it myself? And that was just, I just was like, what? Like, how? That doesn't make sense. That's not fair. It was anger. I was angry. I was angry, and I didn't understand, and that made it worse. And after that, I literally felt like I couldn't watch anything. I couldn't have anything to do with it. I thought, how am I? I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of being who I am. I'm not worthy teaching about vaginal birth. How can I teach about vaginal birth? And yeah, that was a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, a lot of grief, you know, and it was just horrible. It was horrible. But I understood. I was aware. I was picking up on these triggers, and I was understanding, and I was taking myself through it. And now, here I am, watching vaginal birth, talking about vaginal birth, and I'm back in this space, and I feel good talking about it, but it takes time.
Finding the perfect pregnancy and breastfeeding bra is no easy task. Your search is now over. Meet Davin and Adley, a mother-owned pumping, nursing, and maternity bra company with a unique, comfortable, and stylish cropped cami. This item is perfect to wear all day long, from day one of your pregnancy right through the end of your breastfeeding journey and probably beyond. The Amelia cami makes pumping and breastfeeding easy while looking and feeling good on your body. It works seamlessly for both wearable pumps and flange pumps, and you can breastfeed in it. It also has a beautiful stretch lace back. You can sleep in it, dress up in it, go out in it, whatever you want to do in it. And trust us, the quality in this item and all of their items are top notch. They're soft, durable, and attractive. These bras will truly go the distance. Davin and Adley carry a gorgeous selection of maternity and nursing wear, and they have an innovative one-piece breast pad that we've never seen anywhere else. So no more losing those solo breast pads, ladies. Go ahead and check out the full collection of maternity and nursing items at davinandadley.com and use your promo code DOWNTOBIRTH to save 15%. All right, breastfeeding moms, do you want to know one of our all-time favorite items for your nursing journey? If you know us, you probably could guess it. Yep, it's the Silverette Nursing Cup. These little nipple heroes not only protect, but also heal, because they're made of real silver. It is naturally antimicrobial, antifungal, and anti-inflammatory. These little cups will be your best friend in the early sensitive weeks of breastfeeding your baby. And our favorite part is they last literally forever. You can pass them on just like you would a favorite piece of jewelry. Head on over to silverettesa.com and use promo code DOWNTOBIRTH to save 15%.
One of our most beloved Connecticut home birth midwives of a couple decades now has only known surgical birth. And it's really incredible, because her clients love her and she's attended countless beautiful vaginal births.
And she's an incredible midwife.
And she's an incredible midwife. And somehow her clients understood from her that she knew vaginal birth, that she could be the person. We don't earn our place in this industry by having just had picture perfect births. That's right. There's always the component out of everyone's control. And sometimes we have to face the very real humility of the piece that's out of our control. My daughter was breech in my second pregnancy, and they were talking C-section to me before my husband manually turned her later. Anyway, I remember thinking, because I had taught hundreds of women by then, and I remember thinking, oh my God, is this my journey? Do I need to know both?
Yeah.
And it turned out my journey turned out to be to overcome that and to find that voice to say, wait a minute, I don't think this is my path. My intuition said no, because my own mother was born breech, and it felt personal to me. Maybe that's my journey. But I remember thinking, maybe this is my journey. But I didn't think I'll be of less value. I almost wondered if I would be of more value if I would have had to experience that. Do you feel that that's, we want to get back to the conversation, but I'm just so interested in your journey. Do you feel
that? I know now every time something happens in my life, which doesn't feel good, is actually just such a beautiful gift. Now, I really believe that happened as it happened, and it gave me so much, like, it just filled me with this wisdom of actually tuning into my body, because I was completely high risk all over the shop. And yet I still was there in a nice, like, midwife-led room doing what the hell I wanted to do. I literally navigated the whole experience. I navigated everything. And there was no drama. There was no, you know, because I'd literally done the work right from the beginning. I'd had the conversations, and it's leading back into this whole, like, trust in self. It's that trust in self and being able to ultimately, like, regardless of whatever's happening, be able to navigate with that trust and that intuition and complete confidence in yourself, you know? So we're talking about, like, the practices, aren't we, about how to really create a good relationship with ourselves, a really good trusting relationship with ourselves for when it comes to birth. And it's not just, you know, I think we mentioned about doing the deep work of understanding our triggers and then looking at how we can heal that. And sometimes we do need to, you know, maybe do some womb work, or maybe have the conversations, or look at doing some other healing practice throughout our pregnancy to overcome that. But also, we do need to prepare our minds, because what a lot of people don't even realize this, but and I don't know if you're aware of RAS, the reticular activating system. I talk about this in the book. Basically, this is what, like, creates this confirmation bias. So when we are feeling a certain way about something, or I don't know, maybe we're in a cycle of going, I'm going to make it about birth. We're in this cycle of birth is scary, birth is fearful, birth is, you know, horrific, it's traumatic. What's happening is we are actually, our brain is trying to process 11 million pieces of information per second, but it can only let through 40 pieces per second. Yeah, that's insane, isn't it? So imagine this like security guard in your brain, and he's going, hang on, like, I need to, like, filter through these 11 million pieces of information and give my person the 40 best pieces of information I can in that second. So if our brain is pre-programmed, or we've got this, like, cycle going on in our mind, then it's just going to feed us exactly what that is. This is why people miss out on so many opportunities. And that's why when people start having a shift in mindset, they're like, oh my God, like, this happened today, or I bumped into this person, or this happened, because actually what's happening is we are changing what information is coming into our mind. And if we don't understand this, if we don't understand that by doing, you know, understanding our bodies, having the knowledge around, you know, our options, our choices, knowing how to influence, like, oxytocin, like, the more that we delve into these things, the more that we start to really absorb information when it comes to our bodies, our birth, then we're just going to be fed the same narrative again and again and again. And the same comes with healing. If we're just going to continuously be triggered, it's like cycles, isn't it? You know, breaking cycles. It's going to carry on and carry on until we decide that we are going to change the narrative, or decide that we are going to face that particular trigger or that particular thing.
What advice do you have for those women? What do they do with that? They look at that feeling, They go deeper within that feeling. They recognize it. I guess that's the first step, right? As you said, just becoming aware.
Yeah, absolutely. Like recognizing like why you feel that way. If we're talking about, you know, orgasms or orgasmic birth or pleasure birth, pleasurable birth or whatever, if that's making you feel like, oh, like that doesn't feel like nice. Like, why would you be touching yourself? Like, ask yourself why. Why do you feel that way? What could it be? Like, go back. And we all have the absolute capability of time traveling, like through our memories, just by taking some time to sit with ourselves and to just take some breaths and to just really tap in to those places, those memories and those feelings. And the more that you dig into that, the more that it will come up to the surface. And intuitively, you will know, you'll go, that's what it is. And you can start to work on that and start to understand the reasons behind it.
Why should a woman want an orgasmic or pleasurable birth?
All women deserve to have a pleasurable birth experience. All women deserve to feel safe, to feel powerful, to go through this transformative, you know, spiritual experience and absolutely enjoy it. Like, why wouldn't you want to enjoy birth? Like, why wouldn't you? You know, we all want to be able to enjoy such an experience and know that when we meet our baby, like just the absolute euphoria, knowing that we've just had the most, like the best possible experience. If we were not designed to enjoy this experience, then, you know, as a species, human species, like we would be extinct. You know, we would not be continuing to have babies. So it's innately within us, that power, that passion, and the absolute ability to have an enjoyable birth experience.
Thanks for joining us at the Down to Birth Show. You can reach us at Down to Birth Show on Instagram or email us at contact@downtobirthshow.com. All of Cynthia's classes and Trisha's breastfeeding services are held live, online, serving women and couples everywhere.
Please remember, this information is made available to you for educational and informational purposes only. It is in no way a substitute for medical advice. For our full disclaimer, visit downtobirthshow.com/disclaimer. Thanks for tuning in. And as always, hear everyone and listen to yourself. So what purpose did George's birth serve for you? Now that you can look back and, you know, you've overcome the what you faced, like you wouldn't look at vaginal birth. Now, a year later, you've kind of arrived. What was it all for?
I think it's brought me back to this self-trust and intuition. And it's really actually, I don't know, triggered some other things in me that I didn't realize that I needed to face, and actually brought up feelings in me which actually weren't related to birth. It's so interesting, but I've been through a whole like healing journey this last year, and some of the things that came up were a lot of like abandonment and things like that as a child, and responsibility, and, you know, things around that. So it's been like, it's just been so
powerlessness.
Yeah,
I've been experienced tons of that.
Exactly. And I think that's what it brought up, because at that point, I probably did feel like I was like, oh, I am here again. Like, it's another loss. It's another grief. It's another abandonment, you know, like, is this all like mum left me, you know, and before that, when I was a child, like dad left. And, you know, it's this leaving, isn't it? This loss. And so his birth actually brought up other like deep, like loss and abandonment inside of me, which I needed to face. And I did some work around that, and I did the most amazing like trauma like release, and I was screaming and I was fucking like shaking my body. It's so intense, and I had a really bad headache afterwards. But it was fascinating. I went back to my inner child and I held her and I said, it's okay now. And then I stood there and I told both my parents, you know, my dad's still here, my mum's not, but I said to them both, and I fucking told them. How I said, it's not my fault and it's not me, it's you. And it was incredible, you know, just amazing.